So today we're reading from First Canto, chapter 12, the birth of Emperor Parikshit. And today's verse is I believe we're all the way up to 17 today. Yes, page 27. Tasman namna Vishnurata.
Tasman namna Vishnurata.
Iti loke pavishyati. Nasandeho mahabhaga. Mahabhagavato mahan. Tasman namna Vishnurata. Iti loke pavishyati. Nasandeho mahabhaga. Mahabhagavato mahan. Tasman namna Vishnurata. Iti loke pavishyati. Nasandeho mahabhaga. Mahabhagavato mahan. Tasna namna Vishnurata. Iti loke bhavishyati. Nasandeho mahabhaga. Mahabhagavato mahan. Tasman namna Vishnurata. Iti loke bhavishyati. Na sandeho mahabhaga. Mahabhagavato mahan. Tasman namna Vishnurata. Iti loke bhavishyati. Nasandeho mahabhaga. Mahabhagavato mahan. Tasman namna Vishnurata. Iti loke bhavishyati. Sandeho mahabhaga. Mahabhagavato mahan. Tasna namna Vishnurata. Iti loke bhavishyati. Nasandeho mahabhaga. Mahabhagavato mahan. Anyone else? Tasman. Actually, tasmat. Therefore. Namna. By the name. Vishnurataha. Protected by Vishnu. The personality of Godhead. Iti. Thus. Loke. In all the planets. Pavishyati. Shall become well known. Na, no. Sandeha, doubts. Mahabhaga, most fortunate. Mahabhagavataha, the first class devotee of the Lord. Mahan, qualified by all good qualities. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. For this reason, this child will be well known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one, there is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities. Please repeat. For this reason, this child will be well known in the world.
For this reason,
As one who is protected by the personality of Godhead.
As one who is protected by the personality
of Godhead. O most fortunate one.
O most fortunate one.
There is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee. And will be qualified with all good qualities. Bhaktivedanta purport. The Lord gives protection to all living beings because He is their supreme leader. The Vedic hymns confirm that the Lord is the supreme person amongst all personalities. The difference between the two living beings is that the one, the personality of Godhead, provides for all other living beings, and by knowing Him one can achieve eternal peace. Katha Upanishad. Such protection. Does anyone know that verse? Katha Upanishad? I think it's Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yovidithati Kama. Such protection is being given by His different potencies to different grades of living beings. But as far as His unalloyed devotees are concerned, He gives the protection personally. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is protected from the very beginning of His appearance in the womb of His mother. And because He is especially given protection by the Lord, the indication must be concluded that the child would be a first-grade devotee of the Lord with all good qualities. There are three grades of devotees, namely the Mahabhagavata, Madhyam Adhikari, and the Kanishta Adhikari. Those who go to the temples of the Lord and offer worshipful respect to the deity without sufficient knowledge in the theological science and therefore without any respect for the devotees of the Lord are called materialistic devotees or Kanishta Adhikari, the third grade devotees. Secondly, the devotees who have developed a mentality of genuine service to the Lord and who thus make friendships only with similar devotees show favor to the neophytes and avoid the atheists are called the second-grade devotees. But those who see everything in the Lord or everything of the Lord and also see everything in everything an eternal relation of the Lord so that there is nothing within their purview of sight except the Lord are called the Mahabhagavatas or the first-grade devotees of the Lord. Such first-grade devotees of the Lord are perfect in all respects. A devotee who may be in any of these categories is automatically qualified by all good qualities, and thus a Mahabhagavata devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is certainly perfect in all respects. And because Maharaj Parikshit took his birth in the family of Maharaj Yudhishthir, he is addressed herein as the Mahabhagavata, or the greatest of the fortunates. The family in which a Mahabhagavata takes his birth is fortunate because due to the birth of a first-grade devotee, the members of the family, past, present, and future, up to 100 generations, become liberated by the grace of the Lord out of respect for His beloved devotee. Therefore, the highest benefit is done to one's family simply by becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. So we'll read the Mangalacharanam, it's the second yellow tab. Om Ajnana Timarandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtang Sthapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saghagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Shri Navadvipa Parapradipa Sandipyamana Satato Pubiha Chetastamohanti Hiyasya Yatnat Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachodita Shri Vyasadya koshan kushalang kripalahu sanmlecha bhagdesha chaye dadadyas tankirtayamak prabhupada devam achadyate yat paratakka drishya govinda murtyujvala bhaskarena advaita kadyota kulang jagatyang tankirtayamak prabhupada devam yasyaiva yatnena purana raja Gangamala Keshava Keli Hansa Satstotra Ratna Vatitaya Loke Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Sri Radhika Krishna Padara Vinde Sahasra Hritsu Shatamandaryeshu Haropayadyo Madhure Prithivyang Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Koshalya Daryasya Sahasra Shastra Sahasra Prithihanyatehi Chanda kaler mohacha murhatena tankirtayamak prabhupada devam nanala sadgora sudha prakasha palakshitaos tapita eva yena krishnanu chinta jana sangha vrikshas tankirtayamak prabhupada devam yo nityada jivati daivikishu nijasu sikhyasu tusangugami kripam buddhir nanda sutta shutama Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamane Sri Varshabhanabhi Devi Daitaya Kripabhataye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojvala Premadhya Sri Rupanuka Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhume Stvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Kalpataru Pyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanang Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauritvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Suratau Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasvapadam bhojao radha madana mohano divyad brindaranya kalpadrumadhak srimad ratnagara singhasanastau srimad radha srila govinda devau krishtalibhik sevyamano smarami sriman rasara sarambhi vangshi vatatatastitaha karshan venu swanayar gopir gopinathak shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyayai Keshavashyacha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo nasti papatma na paradhi chakashchana parihare pilajame king bruve purushottama yuvati nang yata yuni yunang cha yuvatao yata manobhi ramate tadvan manome ramatang twai bhumaus kalita padanang bhumire babalambanam twai jata paradhanam twameva sharanang prabho Govinda Vallabhe Radhe Prarthaye Twang Aham Sada Twadiyam Iti Janatu Govindo Mang Twayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadhishe Karunamrita Vahini Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyang Mahyang Pradiyatam Vande Nanda Vrajastrinang Padarenum Abhikshnashaha Yasang harikato gitang punati bhuvate bhuvanatrayam nama sheshtang manum api shachi putra mahasrupam Sri rupang tasagrajamu rupurim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundang giribaram ahoradhika madhavasang prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurung tang natosmi adadanas trinang tantair idang yache punak punaha srimad rupa padam bhoja rajohang syam bhave bhave hantaya madrir abala haridasya varyo yad rama krishna charanas parasha pramodaha manang tanoti sahago ganayostayoryat paniya suya vasa kandara kandamulahi jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For this reason, the child will be known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one, there is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities. So in the previous verse, the brahmanas were glorifying Parikshit Maharaj that even though there was an irresistible weapon hurled at him that by all accounts, under material consideration, should have killed him, that he was protected by Krishna while in the womb. And now in this verse they're saying that this child being protected by the personality of Godhead will become a first-class devotee. That Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is the maintainer and protector of everyone. Whatever protection we have in this world is coming from Krishna. But he protects different grades of living beings by his different energies, his different agents. But those who are his completely surrendered souls, the pure devotees, he protects them personally. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he came and as Lord Nrisimhadev personally came out of the pillar and he protected him directly. And similarly, he protected Parikshit Maharaj in the womb, so now the infant was born and the brahmanas are glorifying him and it's customary, they'll tell his fortune, everything. But they're saying he's protected by Vishnu and he certainly will become a first-class Mahabhagavata devotee and be qualified with all good qualities. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that a devotee who may be in any of these categories, that is first class, second class, or third class devotee, is automatically qualified by all good qualities. but then how much more so that those who are completely first class devotees, they're certainly perfect in all respects, a Mahabhagavata devotee. And also because he took his birth in the family of Maharaj Yudhishthira, who is a personal associate of Krishna. So these three classes of devotees are there and they should be understood. Srila Prabhupada urges us to not remain as Kanishta Adhikaris or materialistic devotees who just worship Krishna. We have faith in Krishna in the temple, we worship Krishna. The temple and the deity, but we don't, by not understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we don't know how to properly respect other living beings, how to deal with other beings, how to properly respect the devotees. And the second class devotees, they knowing better the philosophy and understanding and being able to see how Krishna is manifesting himself. Along with all living entities, and all living entities are his servants, though some have forgotten more than others. So the second class devotees, they show mercy to the innocent and they avoid the atheists and they make friendship with the devotees and they worship Krishna. Ishwaratada tineshu balisheshu dvishatshu cha premon maitrikripo peksha. Let me see where that verse is. I took this 11th canto down because these verses are there. In the chapter of the 11th canto entitled Maharaj Nimi Meets the Nine Yogendras, Havir Yogendra, is explaining these different classes of devotees. And Ishware tad adhineshu balisheshu dvisatshu cha prema maitri kripopeksha yak karoti sa madhyamaha. So this is the way the madhyama, second class devotee, behaves. That he shows prema to the Lord, maitri, friendship to the Lord's devotees, kripa, mercy to the innocent, and upekshaha, negligence to the envious, those who are envious of Krishna and his devotees. And the question was that Maharaj Nimi said, now please tell me in greater detail about the devotees of the Supreme Lord. What are the natural symptoms by which I can distinguish between the most advanced devotees, those on the middle level, and those who are neophytes? What are the typical religious activities of a Vaishnava? How does he speak? Please describe the symptoms and characteristics by which Vaishnavas become dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Havir Yogendra tells the king, the most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated in the Lord. So the fully, completely advanced, fully devoted Mahabhagavata devotee, he sees Krishna everywhere. He does. There's no, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, there's nothing within his purview except Krishna. And that kind of devotee was the kind of devotee that that Parikshit Maharaj was, and therefore Krishna personally protected him. But even those devotees, knowing the Lord's desire that the people who are in ignorance, they by their natural Vaishnava humility, they see how everyone is serving Krishna better than them. Even those who are in Maya are serving Krishna indirectly through material energy. That's the way their vision is. They're very humble. But they know that Krishna's desire is to wake people up out of Maya. And so they exhibit the symptoms of the second class devotees to engage in preaching activities meant for the benefit of the whole world. And the second class devotees certainly have to engage in preaching activities also, because that's their actual what they're qualified to do. The neophyte devotees are not very well qualified to preach because they can't understand the position of other people. They can't tell who's envious, who's not. They're wrapped up in themselves. They can't tell who's bona fide candidate. They can't see if what they're saying is being understood by somebody. They can't preach. But the Madhyama Adhikari has this realization that worshipping Krishna doesn't mean worshipping Krishna alone, but it means actually doing the highest good for all living entities. The Mayavadis, they have it exactly backwards. Slogan, Vivekananda's slogan, I think, was Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. But the idea was they were saying, don't bother about going to the temple, don't bother about Krishna Katha, don't bother about japa, puja, everything. If you do mundane welfare work, feed the poor people, like they say, Daridra and Narayan. And then that will be serving Krishna. That's real service to Krishna. Actually, this is exactly backwards. But the right way is that if you actually serve Krishna, then you can properly serve all living entities. It's not that we should think, oh, we serve Krishna, and then everyone else can go to hell. You know, we don't care about them. No, all the living entities are Krishna's parts and parcels. Like we say, if you water the root of the tree, then naturally all the leaves and branches, they get nourished. And so our worshipping of Krishna is also meant for us to by that by that worship of Krishna and realization of Krishna, we are meant to share that with all other living entities, and do that. This is the highest good for them. So those who just worship Krishna in the temple but aren't concerned about spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya, they are just neophyte devotees. And that we have to rise to the level of, with our philosophical understanding well enough, that we can see the urgent necessity. The Madhyama Adhikaris are actually our devotees, servants of the Uttama Adhikaris, and the Uttama Adhikaris are encouraging that they should, everyone should preach, right? Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was always on fire that we have to get this message of Lord Chaitanya, this chanting of Hare Krishna, we have to make it properly understood. People of the world are suffering in ignorance, therefore we have to actually bring this message to everyone and let them properly understand it. They'll misunderstand it in so many different ways. Mostly they're not paying attention, they're not that interested, but we should find ways to make them interested, find ways to reach them. Innocent people, those who are envious, we don't antagonize them. If when it goes, someone please chant Hare Krishna, and it makes him angry, and he wants to say bad things about Krishna or whatever, then we neglect those people. We say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean you. I meant somebody else. So have a good day. You know, bye bye. Find ways not to. We don't stay and fight with them. That's not our. That's not our mission. Our mission is to find the ones who say, oh, you know, I've heard of Bhagavad Gita. I'm interested. I've never. What does it really mean? And what, you know, they can start talking to us, and we can say, "Oh, you should read this. This is a great commentary by a great devotee of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is meant for the devotees of Krishna, and talks about who Krishna is and who we are as spirit souls, and what's illusion and what's reality, and it explains karma and reincarnation and." Meditation, everything is in here. So give them this Bhagavad Gita, and those people read it and they become devotees, because it's being spoken, it's being explained by Srila Prabhupada with great pure potency, without changing anything, without adding or subtracting anything. He's delivering with realization, backed by all the acharyas, the message of Krishna through the parampara, that will act, and we see it does act. So that the Madhyama Adhikari, he has that vision to actually deal with people correctly. And the correct way to deal with people is to give them a chance for Krishna consciousness. And not to be cruel to anyone, not to cause distress to any living entity, but actually to give the greatest kindness of devotional service. So really, Madhava Seva is the best Madhava Seva. Yes, Prabhuji, Ramananda.
Prabhuji, regarding this distinction between Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttamadhikari, for the devotees, just two questions. One is, for the devotees in general, does a devotee have to know where he stands, the Kanishta, Madhyama, or Uttama? Or even if he wants to know, is it actually possible to know where he stands? That's one question. Second question is, that is his position, but does he also have to know about other devotees' position, whether they are at Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama? Or even if he knows, then what is the use? I mean...
We should be able to know. I've heard devotees say, sometimes I've heard some devotees, advanced devotees, say with confidence, I'm a Madhyama Adhikari. But I think for myself, it's best for us to think that to be a Kanishta Adhikari is also a very wonderful thing. You know, if I could be a Vaishnava at all, that's a very high thing, to actually have faith in Krishna, to faithfully worship the deities. But we should try to become Madhyama Adhikari. So we should think, how am I actually engaged in preaching work, because that's the work of the Madhyama Adhikari. So we can try to, how can I have enough realization? Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborates on these phrases in some of his writings in a different way. I mean, this is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's being explained, and then Srila Prabhupada is explaining it in detail in the Nectar of Instruction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur even gives some more elaborations on how the neophyte has a very tender faith and therefore can't confront philosophical doubts very well. And so he describes the Madhyama Adhikari stage as a stage where one, you know, really properly learns the science of Krishna by confronting and overcoming all doubts. And the Mahabhagavata or Uttama Adhikari stage, one completely knows the science. Or as explained in Nectar of Instruction, the Madhyama Adhikari has firm faith, but he may not be able to defeat all opposing arguments. But the Uttama Adhikari has firm faith that he can defeat all the opposing arguments. So to answer your question, should we know? Well, in the Nectar of Instruction, rule is given to us, or the instruction is given to us, that Krishneti yasya giritang manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranathabish chapajantam isham susrushayam pajanavigyam ananyamanya nindari sunya rita sangitas I forget actually. Where is the Nectar of Instruction? So we have to know there are these different, like we show respect to different devotees in different ways. Whoever just chants Hare Krishna, we should respect within our mind, manasidriyata. And whoever is initiated and engaged by the bona fide spiritual master in worshipping the deities and following all the regulative principles, we should pay obeisances with our bodies to them. And those who are actually free from even the tendency to criticize others, who are completely Mahabhagavatas, we should associate with them and faithfully serve them. Krishneti yasya giritang manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatipishcha bhajantam isham shushrushaya bhajanavigyam ananyam anya nindari shunya ridam ipshita sangalabdhya. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So then the purport to that verse explains this entire philosophy. So everyone should read that. It's text number 5. And the purport, I'm not going to read it out loud, the whole purport today, but I would just recommend that as homework. Everyone should read that. And we can read it over and over again. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte, but by gradually following this process, he will rise to the platform of a first-class devotee. This is stated by Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yahara komala shraddha se kanishta jan krame krame tenho bhakta haibe utama. Everyone begins his devotional life from the neophyte stage, but if one properly finishes chanting the prescribed number of rounds of Harinama, he is elevated step by step to the highest platform, Uttama Adhikari. The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily, because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beads. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen, but because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. Here's some more descriptions. These are instructions that the Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami. Shastra yukti nahi jane dridha shradhavan madhuma adhikari she mahabhagyaban. A person whose conclusive knowledge of the Shastras is not very strong, but who has developed firm faith in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and who is also undeterred in the execution of his prescribed devotional service, should be considered a Madhyama Adhikari. Such a person is very fortunate. Shraddhavan Janahoya Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyama Kanishta Shraddha Anusari. One becomes qualified as a devotee on the elementary platform, the intermediate platform, and the highest platform of devotional service according to the development of his Shraddha, faith. So, the answer to your question is, I don't think it's healthy to become too preoccupied with trying to classify the different devotees that we're in contact with, and see who's more advanced and who's less advanced and like that, because it can cause friction among the devotees, and we should always be in a humble position and think of ourselves as the servant of the devotees. But we should find which devotee do we actually want to dedicate our life to serving, and always seeking out his association, staying in that association. And that's described here as the devotee who's actually become free from the propensity to criticize others, who always does his... Let's see. When a person realizes himself to be an eternal servitor of Krishna, he loses interest in everything but Krishna's service. Always thinking of Krishna, devising means by which to spread the holy name of Krishna, he understands that his only business is in spreading Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person is to be recognized as Uttama Adhikari, and his association should be immediately accepted according to the six processes, Dadati, Pratigrinati, that we discussed before, giving gifts, receiving gifts, giving something to eat, disclosing your mind in confidence. Indeed, the advanced Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava devotee should be accepted as a spiritual master. Everything one possesses should be offered to him, for it is enjoined that one should deliver whatever he has to the spiritual master. The brahmachari in particular is supposed to beg alms from others and offer them to the spiritual master. However, one should not imitate the behavior of an advanced devotee or Mahabhagavata without being self-realized, for by such imitation, one will eventually become degraded. So we should find the devotees who are, you know, who are without any envy, who are carrying out the words of their spiritual master, who are constantly enlivened in serving, pushing on the spreading of the holy name, and who aren't involved in criticizing and fighting with other people and things. And then we should take those people as those who we really want to associate with and serve and listen to their explanation of Krishna consciousness from. But we should not get involved in the politics of trying to say everyone else has to accept this one, not that one. And because that, I think that can be frustrating the purpose of the mission if we lack the unity and, you know, sort of just common, you know, good organization. There's a tendency in the Vaishnava community to split up into different camps of followers of different acharyas and leaders and things. And I think that Srila Prabhupada's vision was that we should all work under a governing body cooperatively, the governing body commission of ISKCON, and we should all work within ISKCON together very respectfully to everyone. Even the neophytes, we're required to respect within our mind all the neophyte devotees. So most of us are neophyte devotees, if that. You know, we should be aspiring to become neophyte devotees. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, I don't remember, it was one of the Puri Maharajas. There were two disciples of, two prominent disciples of Sannyasi disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati named Puri Maharaj. One was Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj and one was Bhakti BV. I forget what the V is for. Bhakti, anyway, Vaibhava Puri Maharaj. And it may have been him, but someone was saying, you know, about Kanishta Adhikari and Madhyama Adhikari. And he says, oh, I am aspiring to be a Kanishta Adhikari. Then he's really a devotee, a Vaishnava, you know. So that was his very humble mood. Of course, we shouldn't think, you know, that may be the vision of an Uttama Adhikari. I think that was in your question. It was like, can anyone really know? Because an Uttama Adhikari thinks everyone's better than me. So, you know, if he's thinking, oh, I'm a Madhyama and he's a neophyte. But you actually have to know that. To preach, you actually have to know that. I have faith in Krishna. I know something about Krishna. This person I'm talking to, he doesn't have any information about Krishna. So I have to show mercy to him. You have to know that, that this person is an object of my mercy. Hare Krishna, welcome. Please take some prasadam with you. Mayapur will... what's your name, your good names?
Amin.
Amin?
Amin.
And? Nitin. Nitin? Oh, Hare Krishna. Is this your first time here?
Yes.
Do you live here in the Bay Area? So we have a program tomorrow evening, a Sunday evening program, and we have programs every Saturday morning and Wednesday evenings also. And tonight in Berkeley Temple, there'll be one sannyasi from ISKCON, Giriraj Maharaj, will be giving a class. Have you been to the Berkeley Temple?
I have.
Ah, good. So if you have time, tonight's a good time to come. About 6 o'clock, I think, is the program starts tonight at Berkeley. And then, so do you live here near the San Jose Temple? Oh, okay. From Nitin, where are you from? What? From New York. Do you go to ISKCON in Brooklyn or not really? No. Uh huh. Yeah, nice temple on Lund Avenue or something, Lane. Well, you're very much welcome, both of you. Thanks for coming to visit, and hope to see you again sometime. Hare Krishna. So I don't know if I completely answered your question, Ramananda, but I think that the mood of the Uttama Adhikari is to think of himself very humble. But for the purposes of preaching, one has to distinguish. These are the people who are innocent but are proper recipients of mercy that we should go out and approach them. Please take these books. Please read these books. Please discuss them with me. And we can actually even assume the role of a teacher, that, you know, I've read these books, they've changed my life, this is what they've done for me, let me explain to you how and why and how I understand them and why it makes so much difference. So in that sense, that's really the work of a Madhyam Adhikari. So we should, by being able to understand what's going on inside people. Has anybody ever heard of Piaget? You ever heard of a psychologist named Jean Piaget? He's a Swiss. No, nobody's heard. I always put these things, this mundane knowledge, in my classes or something. But people have noticed, psychologists have noticed, they've studied children growing up and how they go through different stages. And, if you take a small child and you take some colored water and you pour it into a narrow, tall container, and then you pour it out into a wider, short container. And if you take the same water and you pour it into the two containers, he'll think that it has more water in the narrow, tall container. Every time. Which one has more? Oh, that one has more because it's taller. And then it's at a certain point, children say, well, it's the same amount of water. You just changed the container. They know that it preserved its... you know, it's water. And similarly, there's a stage in which you could, you know, they develop the ability to imagine what something looks like from the other side. You could, you know, like if you had three mountains. Anyway, there's all these different sort of this cognitive ability to actually, you know, to actually imagine that, you know, someone from another point of view is seeing the same landscape in a different way, the ability to hold that in your mind and transpose it in your mind and stuff is something that develops in a time of the development of a human as they grow from a child to be like 6 or 7 years old. You're able to transpose and things. So there's this whole philosophy of our psychology, developmental psychology of how children begin to be able to understand and manipulate symbols when they're older, when they're I saw one time some children are talking on a phone and one is saying, you see this here? And they're like in another room, so how could the other child see it? You know, you see this here? And the other child in the other line is saying, yeah, I see it. But when you're older, you start to realize, well, they can't see it because they're in another room. In order to see it, they have to see it. So when we develop from neophytes to Madhyama Adhikaris, we start to also develop an ability to understand what things look like to devotees or to people in different levels of their realization. And so by understanding that, understanding where people are at, we can know who's a suitable object of mercy, who might buy a book, for example, and who we should avoid because they're not prepared, they're not spiritually prepared to accept. They're too envious. They're too envious to accept the idea of God and stuff. And we can tailor our discussions appropriately. And so it's a level of development. When one develops deeper faith in Krishna, one can also become very philosophical and examine the philosophy from different angles without threatening one's tender faith. And so it's a stage that devotees go through. And then when one is completely convinced and absolutely thoroughly knowledgeable about the about all the conclusions of the revealed scriptures, then at the same time, such a person actually becomes so humbled that he actually sees Krishna in everyone and sees that they're all better than him. And but even those devotees who are so free from any judgment, from some tendency to criticize others, that they see everyone as greater devotees, they still apply because they know the desire of the Krishna is preaching. Some of them become bhajan anandis and sit and chant and write literature and poetry and things like that. But in our movement, we're encouraged to be Goshtyanandis and to continue, like Srila Prabhupada was certainly Mahabhagavata. Another thing that, actually, if you read this, text 5, and you read the purport, another thing you'll find in there is that the different levels of devotees, neophyte, middle, and Mahabhagavata, or Uttama Adhikari, are recognized by their ability to influence others to become devotees. That by the association of a great devotee, everyone starts chanting Hare Krishna. So we can see that with Srila Prabhupada, this power that, he wrote these books. He just came with nothing, with cartels, and started preaching in New York City. But then it unfolded that now there are millions of people around the world who are reading his books and worshipping in ISKCON. It's because of his realization as an Uttama Adhikari devotee, and they have that kind of power. So that's also there in that. So everyone should read, homework assignment, read Nectar of Instruction, chapter 5, text 5, read the whole purport. Okay? But the thing we should come away with this class from is that we need to become Madhyama Adhikaris, and that the duty of the Madhyama Adhikaris is to actually be able to see what's going on in other people so that we can know how to actually distribute books to them and who we should avoid and then in the temple we should respect all the devotees in the temple, but we should see who we can take shelter of and take, like that, who we should every society, even just from a material point of view, and this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam too. I think it's in the fourth canto. I could find it if you wanted me to look for it. But every society, just to go along nicely, it will be peaceful, and there will be no lack of harmony if everyone acts in this way. That for those who are inferior, they show mercy. For those who are equal, they show friendship. For those who are superior, they take shelter. And then, because that's going on in every society, the modern idea is we have to have equal rights, egalitarianism, everybody's an individual and they're endowed by the Creator with these inalienable rights and stuff. It's a protection, because those who are in superior positions are not merciful. And so we have to say, wait, we can't let anybody be in a superior position because they won't properly show mercy, But in an actual In any society, really, there are inferior people and superior people. You can't just, you know, we could say all men are created equal before the law or something like that, but not really, everybody's not equal. Certainly children need the care and affection and mercy of their parents. Even in that situation today, sometimes the parents are not kind and merciful and caring and to their children, and they're more selfish or stuff. But everybody, if you have a higher position in a society, you have a corresponding duty. They say noblesse oblige, right? You have a corresponding duty to be merciful and protect and give, you know, and perform your duty to give benefit to all people. And if you have because there is no actual classless society. It's a fiction. It might be better than having a class full of a society full of classes where the aristocrats act like tyrants without any kindness and without any responsibility, you know, without any sense of responsibility and duty, and try to be imitation gods. Demons, that's what demons are. They become, I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I killed my enemies, and I'll kill my other enemies. That's described in Bhagavad Gita. The mood. Ishwaroham aham bhogi. I am the Lord, I am the enjoyer. That's the demons. So when the aristocrats in a society are aristocracy means the governance by those who are best, those who have the most talent, those who have the most education, those who have the high qualities. So if they're demons, then the society is very unendurable and there has to be a revolution, and people may try to say, no, nobody's better than anybody else. But actually people, you know, people really are great. Some people are talented. Some people are very smart. Some people are very good in sports and some people aren't. You can't just say, we don't have an egalitarian professional soccer league, you know, you want the best players on your team. You don't want to say, well, everybody's equal, so we should take anybody from the crowd. And similarly, those who are best and most capable for guiding and governing society, the brahmanas and the kshatriyas, they have a corresponding duty to make the society work very nicely. And so that same principle is there in the spiritual world, that those who have more knowledge of Krishna, more faith in Krishna, they have a duty to inspire others and to share what they have. And there shouldn't be any envy in the society where everybody's trying to say, no, I'm in a higher position, no, I'm in a higher position. Everyone should naturally be willing to take a humble position. But those who are, when there's not that envy, then those who are naturally more qualified will, you know, be properly respected. Okay? All right, we'll stop there. Unless there's anybody else, a comment, a question? Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.